So yes, thank you for everyone that came out and helped and just poured into it and got a lot done. And not quite all of it, but the weather didn't cooperate the best. I think Calvin was a real life-looking duck till he went home. But thank him for powering through. Also, we did not disperse our 5% yet. I got one suggestion that I'm looking into. And so if you have anything there yet, that is still open. We do need to take care of that very, very shortly. So give me needs, names of needs, if you have, and we'll take care of it. Also, just to be something to put on your mind, we're very grateful for how Palm Grove Church stepped in and took our place for Jonas and Rosie's the funeral for Jonas. And we want to make a good contribution to them for that. So that will be done as well also. So that brings us to where we will go today. And for me, it's a little bit different. In weeks leading up to an assignment like this, I keep my ears open, looking for something that will jar my mind or lead me down a path to put a message or something together. And this time it was not happening. I did have what I considered a safety net that I could fall back on if maybe nothing else came up, but I didn't think that would happen. I'm on the Carolina Chaplaincy Board, as you know, most of you know, and we talk each just about at every meeting how we don't do enough sharing in our churches ourselves. We're always pointing the fingers at, we got to get out to that church. We got to get out to that area. We got to get out to those people. And we don't do a very good job right here at home. Part of what led me down this journey was we just had our picnic, chaplaincy picnic, on November 1st. And it was events of that day and the hearts of our own chaplains that I saw and was sharing with that also really ended up steering me in the direction we're going. As time changes and time moves on, a lot of new people come in, and I'm not sure even how much some of you might know about Carolina Chaplaincy. So it's not the whole morning is not going to be on that, but we're going to start there and then end up on a topic relevant to the whole story, I guess. So, Carolina Chaplaincy Program started in 1994 when Nelson Koblentz approached the Mennonite churches in South Carolina with the idea of placing supported volunteer chaplains in the prisons as a way of following up after the evangelistic prison crusades that were happening. I'm sure Sam was in on the very, 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 very first meeting. In fact, there is a prison just east of here. How many years did you work for SCDC, Sam?
27.
He worked for SCDC as a chaplain for 27 years. He did such a fine job that they felt compelled to name Sam Mast Chapel at Trenton Correctional Institution. They were much happier than that, but that's one way they could say thank you. So I know Sam has, he'll relate to the whole story this morning, to the whole of what I have to say. I think Dale was one of the original members of Carolina Chaplaincy Board. He's been there every step of the way, along with Dennis Stoll from Abbeville area, also is one of the founding members. That challenge issued by Nelson Koblentz was accepted, and by June of 1994, eight churches elected representatives to form the board of Carolina Chaplaincy Program. Those eight churches were Pickens, Fairplay, Cold Springs, Whispering Pines, New Holland, Blackville, and Barnwell. And in late 1994, the first volunteer chaplain was placed at Perry Correctional Center in Pelzer, South Carolina. When we first moved here in 2007, I was a part-time volunteer chaplain for 6 years. Now I've been on the board for 11 years, the past 10 as chairman. I'm grateful that we are on the prayer list every Sunday, and our pastors and everyone who does sharing time is faithful in praying for the chaplains and for the program. Do not say thank you nearly enough, but thank you for that. The needs that we have today, yeah, they are probably first and foremost. Things did not return anywhere close to what we were used to pre-COVID. For 27 months, we were locked out, could not get in, could not do what we were called to do. Now that the doors are back open, there is only a few places that we really have pretty much free rein, very similar to what we had pre-COVID. A lot of the closed doors were blamed on lack of staff, which was true, lack of staff from the SCDC side. And that was true. Now that staff is getting built up, but one of the negatives of bringing in so much new staff is they don't know us. They don't know us, they don't know what we do, they don't know what we did. Some of the staff even that knows some about us seems to be opposed to anything religious happening anyway, and do their best to get in the way and stop it. That would be a prayer request ongoing for sure. As of now, we only have three chaplains, one full-time, two part-time. They're all elderly. We need new blood. We need some young folks. And if we don't share, we are not going to get young folks. Now the middle part of this speech, sermon, whatever it is, we cannot get stuck there because it could get depressing. So follow along and I'll do my best to move through it. I mentioned we had our picnic on November 1st. I was sitting with our chaplains just visiting and having a good time, and all of a sudden the thought struck them. Oh, did it happen? I said, did what happen? I said, well, there was supposed to be an execution today. And I thought, okay, it's been a long time since I heard that. And quickly they said, oh no, that's right. I hope it didn't happen. This was a fine Christian man. But anyhow, they proceeded to Google it very quickly and find out the execution did in fact happen and was carried out. Up until, well, not this one, there was 6 weeks earlier, there was also an execution. But for a period of about 13 years, there was no executions in the state of South Carolina because pharmaceutical companies refused to sell the drugs that were needed for lethal injection. 2012 to 2016, there were four men who were on death row that were released for various reasons. In 2021, South Carolina State Legislature reapproved the electric chair as the primary method. Since they couldn't get drugs, they decided, we're going to get back on track with using the electric chair again. In March or May, Google could not make up its mind. The state also approved the use of a firing squad as a method of execution. And it was determined that the person to be that was sentenced to death could choose any one of those three options. On July 31st, the Supreme Court of South Carolina ruled the death penalty and the approved methods of execution were legal, paving the way to resume executions. There are 30 men on death row here in South Carolina, all housed right up the road here at Columbia at Broad River Correctional Institution. The Supreme Court also ruled that executions cannot be carried out closer than 35 days apart, and they cited three reasons for that ruling. Number one was to let the legal review process have plenty, in their minds, plenty of time, and would prevent, and two, to prevent errors in anything that was about to happen. And the third reason was said to prevent potential psychological strain on the execution staff from having to carry out multiple executions in quick succession. As of today, this morning, there is four men who have exhausted all appeals and are scheduled to be executed every 35 days. Every 5 weeks is a scheduled execution. The governor of South Carolina is their last hope for a stay and avoiding execution. Since 1976, no governor has issued any stay of execution. So they certainly don't expect one to happen. On Wednesday, September 18th at 12 noon, the entirety of SCDC enforces a full lockdown. And the mood, the atmosphere, the feelings of inmate and staff sink into a dark reality that the worst is about to happen. Sam, I'm sure you remember those days. I only remember talking with one inmate who was explaining to me what was happening one time. I said something about it seemed so dark. He said, well, yeah, there's going to be an execution in 3, 4, 5 days. I forget what it was. It is not a good feeling. So that is Wednesday. I do believe I failed to mention all executions take place on Fridays. So Wednesday, a few days earlier, they lock everything down for safety reasons. September 20th, 2024, around 6:30 p.m., Freddie Owens was executed for crimes he had committed. He had no final statement beyond looking at his attorney and saying, bye. Fast forward to 6 weeks, November 1st. Richard Moore. This was a guy that our staff had spent some time getting to know pre-COVID. I don't know that they have been able to see him in the last, whatever that would be now, 4+ years. But each of them remembers visiting with him, talking with him. And they were all convinced that this man was truly repentant for his crimes, for his sins, and was a devout, born-again Christian. Richard Moore naturally appealed, used up all his appeals. But, as I stated, no appeal has been No appeal since 1976 has been has swayed the any governor's mind. Richard Moore did his best to live the best that he could in spite of the circumstances. He penned a final statement, final words, and they were this: "To the family of Mr. James Mahoney, I am deeply sorry for the pain and sorrow I caused you all. To my children and granddaughters, I love you. I am so proud of you. Thank you for the joy that you have brought to my life. To all of my family and friends, both new and old, thank you for your love and support." His final meal was steak cooked medium, fried catfish and shrimp, scalloped potatoes, green peas, broccoli with cheese, and sweet potato pie, German chocolate cake, and grape juice. He had a good final meal. Very good. Three jurors who condemned Richard Moore to death in 2001, including one who wrote a letter Friday, sent letters to Governor McMaster asking him to change his sentence to life without parole. They were joined by a former state prison director, Moore's trial lawyer, his son and daughter, a half a dozen childhood friends, and several pastors. They all said, "Mr. Moore, age 59, was a changed man who loved God, doted on his grandchildren the best he could. He helped guards keep the peace and mentored other prisoners. After his addiction to drugs clouded his judgment that one day and led to the shootout in which Mahoney was killed," according to the clemency petition. The governor said before the execution that he would carefully review everything sent by Moore's lawyers, as is customary, and wait until minutes before the execution started to announce his decision upon hearing all appeals were finished. McMaster said, "Clemency is a matter of grace and a matter of mercy. There is no standard. There is no real law on it," McMaster told reporters on Thursday. Getting lost here. Good thing I numbered them. Okay. Now, it's easy for us to say these are bad men. These are men that deserve what they got. But the reality is, according to James 2:10, whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking it all. There's no levels or degrees of separation from God. Either separated or not. Sin is sin, and sin will keep us from God. So we all need grace and mercy. We all are highly in need of grace and mercy. So that's what we want to close on, grace and mercy. Though often used interchangeably, grace and mercy differ in many ways. In a nutshell, grace and mercy are two sides of the same coin. Grace is a gift we don't deserve, while mercy is not getting the punishment we do deserve. Mercy is when God, out of his loving kindness, withholds punishment that we rightly deserve because of our sin. Grace is usually defined as undeserved favor. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew word often translated as grace is chen, which can also mean favor or charm. It is used to describe instances where God shows his favor to his people despite their flaws and shortcomings. One example of this is when God gave Moses the Ten Commandments. In Exodus 34, verses 8 through 10 say, Moses bowed his head to the ground. Start over. Moses bowed his head to the ground at once and worshiped. Lord, he said, if I have found favor in your eyes, then let the Lord go with us. Also, this is a stiff-necked people. Forgive our wickedness and our sin and take us as your inheritance. Then the Lord said, I am making a covenant with you. Before all your people, I will do wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. The people you live among will see how awesome it is the work that I do, that I, the Lord, will do for you. In the New Testament, the Greek word for grace is charis. The concept of grace is prominently revealed through the work, through the person and work of Jesus Christ. We believe that through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross, God's grace is made accessible to all those who believe in him. Titus 2:11 says, for the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. That is why in Christian theology, grace is often classified into two types, common and saving grace. Titus 2:11 falls under the universal grace. God made it available to everyone. No one is excluded from the love of God and the sacrifice that he provided. Examples of common grace can be seen in the beauty of creation, the life we enjoy, and the resources we are provided. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace have you been saved through faith. It is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. A saving grace, meanwhile, is that which provides salvation to a person. This type of grace is manifested in Jesus Christ himself, whom he sent to save us all. Romans 3:24, all are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Mercy is often described in the Bible as God's compassionate and forgiving nature and a virtue that humans are called to embody. It is closely related to forgiveness, compassion, and showing kindness to others. Four key aspects of mercy are referred to in the Bible. First one being God's mercy. The scriptures emphasize God's limitless mercy and compassion towards humanity. This is demonstrated through his forgiveness, grace, and willingness to withhold punishment that humans deserve for their sins. Ephesians 2, 4, and 5, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Then there's human mercy. The Bible also encourages us to be merciful toward others, just as God was merciful to us. This calls for acts of kindness, forgiveness, and compassion towards those in need or who have wronged us. Luke 6:36, be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Number three, mercy and justice. The concept of mercy is often contrasted with justice in the Bible. While justice entails giving people what they deserve, mercy is about withholding deserved punishment or extending forgiveness instead. James 2:13, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. The fourth point of that is mercy in everyday life. And there should be one more page somewhere. There we go. The Bible also teaches us that mercy should be a guiding principle in our daily interactions with others. It encourages us to show mercy to our enemies, strangers, the poor, and the marginalized. Romans 12:20. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Romans 12:20. So in closing, as you continue to pray for the chaplaincy program, it will be a difficult time moving forward with all these scheduled executions, if they happen as scheduled. It's something they haven't faced in quite a while. So I'm not sure if that is the reason why I was stuck and led to share all of this, is for their sake, or what exactly the reason is, or if it's just to, again, impress upon us the need to be graceful and merciful to those around us. I'm not sure. But I think we all know we could probably, well, at least I can improve in each and every area. I think there's a few others could probably improve, if not everybody. So yes, pray for them. Pray for them as they share with the inmates, with the staff. The staff as well have just as hard of a time as many of the inmates do. It's just a time when a dark time. But pray for them as they try to spread cheer and lead those seeking souls to Christ as they can. Pray for their health. As I shared, the youngest one's probably 74 or 75. So yeah, we need new blood. Pray with us, recruit for us. Let's try and get a few more chaplains in to share the love of Christ in prison, and that would be just wonderful. So, Reuben, do we have a song?
Yes, 926 in
the hymnary. 926 in the hymnary. You can stand and we'll pray. God, we come before you this morning recognizing that we have all failed. We continue to fail. We come up short of where you would like us to be. But God, we just ask that you would continue to provide wisdom, direction for us as we strive to serve you to the best of our ability. God, I just pray that you would continue to bless the chaplaincy program. Would you continue to move in opening new doors and new institutions? And God, with that would come a need for more chaplains. We ask that you would direct us to those as well. God, we want to serve you as best we know how and to help you spread your love to all those around us. Help us to be the witness that you want us to be. In a day-to-day walk, may we just have a good word to share for you and about you with those that we meet. We pray this in your name. Amen.
Carry out the Lord's crucifixion. Yeah.